Welcome to the summer 2017 edition of Community Health, caring for you close to home. Provided by Kent Community Health NHS Foundation Trust. The power of a diagnosis. As much as we'd like to, we can't cure everything. But having a diagnosis so you can get the right help and support can be incredibly powerful. Just ask Macy or Harry, who share their stories in this issue. Having a diagnosis of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, was like a light bulb moment for Macy's mum. With the support of our specialist nurses and consultant, Macy was given medication and strategies which helped her to concentrate at school and achieve more than she ever imagined, even passing her 11 plus. For 14-year-old Harry, his challenging diagnosis of spina bifida affects everything below his waist and has meant simply going to the toilet has been a painful experience. But thanks to the support of our bladder and bowel team and Harry's can-do attitude, he's overcome challenges that would defy most of us. Sometimes a diagnosis really can mean the difference between life and death, and that's why being able to spot the signs and getting checked out early is so important. In this issue, you can also learn about the signs of sepsis by listening to George's story. And Pal explains how easy it is to cure tuberculosis if you get checked out early. We hope you enjoy this issue. Julia and Faye. Our features. It's easily curable. Pal helps to dispel the myths around a TB diagnosis. George's marvellous medicine. The signs of sepsis and what to watch out for. Our vision for Dorothy. Plans for improving care for older people and how to have your say. The making of Macy. One girl's triumph in the face of an ADHD diagnosis. Our brave soldier. How our bladder and bowel team help Harry. Everyday volunteering heroes. Find out why they do what they do. The Faversham Five. Remembering some of the best days as we say goodbye. Bridging the gap. Donna Clark on the extra support for you. You can read our magazine online. www.kentcht.nhs.uk/magazine. Request this magazine in audio, large print or a different format. Please phone 01622 211 940. Follow us on Facebook, Kent Community Health. Tweet us at NHS Kent CHFT or like us on LinkedIn. If you would like to advertise in this magazine, please phone Charlotte Morgan on 01622 211 940. Write to us at Kent Community Health, NHS Foundation Trust, The Oast, Hermitage Court, Hermitage Lane, Barming, Maidstone, Kent, ME16, 9NT. The team. Editor, Faye Sinclair, 01622 211 947. Email faye.sinclair1@nhs.net. News editor, Chloe Crouch. Designers, Julie Bignall, Karen Kelly. Contributors, Joe Traherne, Lewis King and Anna Hind. Your shout. We love it when you tell us what you think, and there are many ways you can feed back to us, improve services or get involved. Health visitor was my saviour. I was admitted to hospital at 32 weeks with preeclampsia and my first daughter was born 5 weeks early. I was in a ward with four mothers and witnessed each of them go through delivering early or their babies dying. I was traumatised and became depressed, thinking someone was trying to kill me and my baby because we survived. It was my health visitor who helped me. She saw I was uncomfortable around pregnant women and mothers. She came to my home to talk and weigh my daughter until I was ready to leave the house and go to the children's centre. She encouraged me to ring the Talk helpline and join groups to manage my depression. She held my hand until I was ready to walk alone, for which I am indebted to her. My second pregnancy was complicated. Following my previous history, all my worries and concerns were reviewed and discussed with my health visitor. This personal touch made me feel like a person, rather than a checklist. I have just been diagnosed with breast cancer, which has been devastating, but the personal support from health visitor Joe Vaccaro has again been invaluable. I'm too tired and emotional to visit children's centres while I undergo chemotherapy. Joe took time to come to me so I could concentrate on fighting this disease. There are always pressures on funding on the NHS, but the health visiting service is invaluable. Without it, mothers' and babies' lives will be put at risk. D. Wood, Canterbury. Heartfelt thanks to Caring Sevenoaks team. To all the doctors, nurses and other staff on Stanhope Ward at Sevenoaks Hospital who looked after my dear husband so well when he was with you, thank you so much for everything. A special thank you to Caroline for arranging to have him home with us. Edna Tappenden, Sevenoaks. I would like to say a big thank you to staff on Holmesdale Ward at Sevenoaks Hospital for looking after Joan. You were all so kind and thoughtful and caring, and as Joan neared the end, you could not have been more considerate and compassionate. Joan died in a peaceful, calm environment for which I am most grateful. The kindness you showed us and supply of tea was most appreciated. G. Garrett, Joan's long-time carer, Sevenoaks. Nurses are a breath of fresh air. I would like to commend our local respiratory team for exceptional service to patients. It is hard to explain to someone who does not have lung disease how isolated it makes you feel. Knowing the nurses are always there, ready with dependable advice delivered in the most caring way, whether you are one of their patients or not, is helpful to us all. Jim Harris, Chairman, Breathe Easy Canterbury. Get involved. Want to have your say? Contact our customer care team. Phone 0300 123 1807. Text 07899 903499. Email kcht.cct@nhs.net. Want to volunteer for us? To find out more about volunteering with us, contact Maria on 01474 360 508. Email maria.swaby@kentcht.nhs.uk or Caroline on 01795 418 300 or email caroline.wheeler@kentcht.nhs.uk. Want to become a member? If you'd like to become a member of our trust, visit www.kentcht.nhs.uk/FT and fill in the online form. You can also phone 01233 667 827 or email kcht.membership@nhs.net to request a membership form.
Community Health News. New app on trial supports nurses. Deal Wound Centre is piloting an innovative new app to support clinicians to heal wounds and pressure ulcers faster. Nicola Osborne, KCHFT's Head of Adult Clinical Services for South Kent Coast, said, "The app will support our nurses to track the healing rates of their patients' wounds by taking photographs and measuring the length and width of each wound at every appointment. Nurses, who already use tablets in the community, will be able to use this during home visits and beam the results to our centre for them to be looked at by our experts and get instant advice." The Wound Matrix app has been created through the innovative international partnership of Kent Community Health NHS Foundation Trust and the USA-based technology company Wound Matrix Inc. Easy access to specialist care for wounds. New centre heals wound as big as an orange with clever new technology. A specialist wound medicine centre is open at Victoria Hospital in Deal. Deal's centre is staffed by advanced wound nurses supported by tissue viability specialist nurses. Its daily clinic means every patient in Deal with a chronic, complex or surgical wound will now have access to specialist care. It is hoped a second clinic room will be opened later this year. Our Chief Executive Paul Bentley and President of the League of Friends Maureen Bain officially opened the centre together with guests including Mayor of Deal David Cronk, KCHFT Deal and Dover Governor Carol Coleman, Non-Executive Director Pippa Barber, Deputy Chief Nurse Ruth Herron, and satisfied patients. Thanks to a £20,000 donation by Deal Hospital League of Friends, the centre has been kitted out with the latest equipment, including specialist chairs, couches and trolleys. Patient Lyris Mann, 73, from Deal, who developed a nasty infected wound and cellulitis after knocking her leg on her dishwasher 2 years ago, said, "The hole in my leg ended up as big as an orange and it frightened the life out of me. The team at Deal was amazing. I came into the clinic and now, thanks to them, it's the size of a pea. They told me what they were doing all the time and were really friendly. I really can't praise them enough." The centre is also trialling a new app which supports clinicians to heal wounds and pressure ulcers faster. Nicola Osborne, KCHFT, Head of Adult Clinical Services for South Kent Coast, said, "We are incredibly lucky and grateful to be supported by the League of Friends. Treating wounds requires complex specialist care, and this centre is a welcome addition to our hospital, providing patients with a convenient clinic and faster healing rates." Paul Bentley, Chief Executive, said, "We have opened a number of wound medicine centres and every single one of them makes a difference to the quality of care our patients receive. This is testament to the excellent care of our teams." Strategy and Transformation Partnership Updates. Sign up to a regular news update about the Strategy and Transformation Partnership by visiting www.kentandmedway.nhs.uk/subscribe. It's a useful way to keep track of how work is progressing on future plans to transform health and social care in Kent and Medway. Taking steps to reduce risk of falls in hospital. We are one of 21 trusts in the UK and the only community health provider taking part in a 90-day programme looking at what more could be done in community hospitals to prevent falls. The NHS Improvement Falls Collaborative makes sure we have the information, skills and tools to reduce falls resulting in injury. At Edenbridge and District War Memorial Hospital and Whitstable and Tankerton Hospital, an improvement team is hard at work looking at how well call bells are used to ask for assistance, making sure mobility aids are in easy reach of the patient's bedside and checking the quality of patient's eyesight using the Royal College of Physicians Bedside Vision Check. Colleagues also spent a week hitting the streets to raise awareness about falls, holding a range of activities for patients, relatives and the local community. Our intermediate care team in Herne Bay set up outside Tesco in Whitstable to give advice. Texting service helps young people chat health. Young people in East Sussex can now text health questions or concerns to a confidential messaging service managed by school nurses. Chat Health, the texting service, for young people aged 11 to 19, is staffed Monday to Friday from 9 to 5. No message ever goes unanswered. There is an automated texting system in place to direct young people to other services out of hours. Clinical Manager for the East Sussex School Health Service, Sally Pullen, said, "We are thrilled with the success of this service. Young people can use it to ask a question, arrange an appointment with one of our nurses, or find out more about our drop-in service. It's already helping us to support more students, and we can offer a confidential and safe advice service at the touch of a button. Text 07507 332473. Clean your hands and prevent spread of infection. KCHFT's Chief Nurse, Ali Stroman, and Assistant Director for Infection Prevention and Control, Lisa White, are heading up a campaign to make sure people are keeping their hands clean. They have appeared on new materials in our community hospitals and clinics to raise awareness of the importance of good hand hygiene. The aim is to prevent infections such as C. difficile, flu and norovirus." Lisa said, "Hand hygiene is a simple but effective way of stopping germs from spreading. We cannot emphasise enough the importance of carrying out this simple task before tending to a patient and before visiting a patient." Chief Nurse talks strategy in Parliament. Our Chief Nurse, Ali Stroman, went to the House of Lords at the invitation of England's Chief Nursing Officer, Jane Cummings, and Baroness Watkins of Tavistock. Ali was one of a dozen or so senior nurses and midwives attending the roundtable House of Lords Nurses Dinner, where the nursing and midwifery strategy in England was discussed. Ali said, "We discussed key issues in nursing, namely recruitment from overseas, new skill sets required, and how we attract nurses into the profession and retain them." Staff Awards celebrate our finest. It was a night full of celebration, happiness and gratitude as we said thank you to colleagues who go above and beyond to deliver the best care to our patients. Our annual staff awards honoured shortlisted nominees in 7 categories, including an award for excellence, one for compassion, and a special mention for our volunteers. We also celebrated 18 long service colleagues who had each reached the milestone of 25 years continuous NHS service. Our winning teams and colleagues were Volunteer of the Year, Linda Hook, Rehab Volunteer, Victoria Hospital, Deal. Runners-up, Olive Sheen and Lynn and John Gallimore. Diversity and Wellbeing Award, Diana Ramsey and Penny Clark, Community Learning Disability Service. Runners-up, Des Clark and Stephen Lancaster, Community Learning Disability Service and the Health Checks Team. Panel's Choice Award, Alexandra McSweeney-Baxter, Ashford Intermediate Care Team, and Kim Murphy, Dental Services. Compassion Award, Friends Ward, Whitstable and Tankerton Hospital. Runners-up, Canterbury Dental Special Care Team and Tracy Hawkes, Ashford Community Nurse. Aspiration Award, Fresh Start Team. Runners-up, Alison James, Diabetes Specialist Nurse and Children's Bladder and Bowel Nursing Team. Responsive Award, West Kent Home Treatment Service Healthcare Assistance. Runners-up, Adrian Nichols, Estates Compliance Manager and the Sexual Health Central Booking Line Team. Excellence Award, Tunbridge Wells District Health Visiting Team. Runners-up, Joe Hamilton, Hotel Services Support Worker and the Health Trainer Service. We want to become the best employer for our people. Investing in our staff to provide the best possible care for our patients is why we have developed a 5-year people strategy. It sets out our commitment to people who work for Team KCHFT. It aims to support us to recruit and retain the very best people to care for our patients. We hope to nurture leadership skills at every level to create an engaged, well-led organisation. Create and maintain a culture where people are retained and supported to perform at their best. Foster continuous improvement, flexibility and adaptability to meet changing demands, including recruiting and retaining the right workforce. You can read our strategy at www.kentcht.nhs.uk. Celebrating 40 years with the Queen. It was a royal appointment at Windsor Castle for the head of our South East Drivability Service, Anuraj Varshney, when he celebrated the 40th anniversary of the Motability Scheme with the Queen. Anu attended the event in his role as chairman of the Driving Mobility Network, the governing body for all 17 mobility centres in the UK. The Queen has been patron of the Motability Charity since 1977, and in its 40 years, the scheme has provided more than 4 million vehicles and today supports 600,000 people across the UK. Chronic Pain Delivery in East Sussex. KCHFT has been awarded the Chronic Pain Service as part of East Sussex Healthcare NHS Trust's successful bid for Community Integrated Musculoskeletal Services. The Community Chronic Pain Service, which begins on the 1st of July, will support patients to achieve long-term self-management using our expertise in this area.
News Nuggets. What you might have missed. Time to take a different view. Health and social care organisations are working together to encourage qualified people to move to the area. The campaign, A Different View, is focused on the lifestyle you can enjoy by living in East Kent, particularly on the coast. It's hoped the partnership approach will encourage people outside of the area potentially looking for a job to come to Kent. So if you're listening to this and know anyone who could apply, let them know. A Different View has a dedicated website featuring filmed case studies from each organisation, along with details on house prices, local schools, crime rates and links to all vacancies offered by partner organisations, all designed to make the move as easy as possible. Partners in the project are East Kent Hospitals University NHS Foundation Trust, East Kent Hospitals University NHS Foundation Trust, Kent Community Health NHS Foundation Trust, Kent and Medway NHS and Social Care Partnership Trust, Kent County Council, and East Kent Clinical Commissioning Groups. The website is at www.kentcht.nhs.uk. takeadifferentview.co.uk. The campaign can also be found on facebook.com/adifferentviewek. Temporary changes at Kent and Canterbury Hospital. Temporary changes have been made to some services at Kent and Canterbury Hospital, K&C. From the 19th of June, patients who need emergency medical care for conditions like heart attack, stroke and pneumonia are being taken to Margate or Ashford. Once patients are well enough, if they need to remain in hospital to continue their recovery, they will be moved to K&C to be closer to home. The hospitals are run by East Kent Hospitals University NHS Foundation Trust. The Trust has been directed by Health Education England, the organisation which oversees the quality of junior doctor training in hospital, to move some junior doctors from Canterbury to its other two hospitals. This is because there are not enough permanent consultants at K&C to give these junior doctors adequate training and supervision. This means the hospital has to make some temporary changes to how it provides some services because it would not be safe to run these without junior doctors. The centre's minor injuries and illness service will still be open 24/7. You can find out more on its website www.ekhuft.nhs.uk. Meet the innovators. New services, new colleagues and new accolades. KCHFT is going from strength to strength, winning and selling new services. Here's what we've been up to. We win new school health service. New school health services are being rolled out in Kent, which will see greater access and support for children and young people to get the best start in life. We have won two contracts for primary and secondary school aged children. Schools, parents, children and young people will begin to notice a variety of improvements. Increased opening hours from 8 a.m. until 6 p.m. Monday to Friday. Easier access with one number, email and online referral to contact the service. Uniforms to make the school health teams more visible. Increased drop-ins at schools, youth clubs and community venues. A developing new website for children and young people. You can find out more online, kentcht.nhs.uk/schoolhealth. London Dental Services contract hits the ground running. Our new special care and paediatric dental services have launched across 8 London boroughs. The Trust won the multi-million pound contract to deliver these services last year after competing against large London teaching hospitals and other NHS trusts to win. Dental Services Managing Director Mark Johnson said, "It took a very long time and a lot of hard work to get to this day, but we are thrilled to welcome our new colleagues and to expand our excellent dental services into London." Open all hours. Online shop launches. We've launched an online shop so you can buy some things from the NHS you might normally pay for privately or not be able to receive elsewhere. The shop, www.kentcht.nhs.uk/shop, which is the result of a year-long project, is initially selling a small number of goods, services and training courses before expanding during the next year. Transactions are securely processed using Worldpay and all major credit and debit cards are accepted. Take a look. National recognition for diabetes courses. Education courses we run for patients with type 1 and type 2 diabetes have been awarded national certification by the Quality Institute for Self-Management after meeting NICE quality standards. The recognised courses are the Trust's CAT1E and DEREC programmes. Diabetes education team leader Sarah Dean said, "We know our courses increase a patient's confidence in self-managing their diabetes, and those patients have the key skills and knowledge to learn how to live with diabetes on a day-to-day basis. DEREC is designed to meet the needs of people with type 2 diabetes, while CAT1E is a 4-day course run over a month for people with type 1 diabetes." The courses are held at a number of venues across East Kent. You can find out more by phoning Sarah on 01233 66 7775 or emailing sdeans@nhs.net.
Ask the experts. Something you need a little bit of advice about? Our team of experts can answer all your questions. Our experts, Marianne Stoneman, RN BAONS. Marianne has worked for KCHFT's TB team for 6 years, 3 years as a TB specialist nurse and 3 years as lead specialist nurse for TB, managing the team across East Kent, Dartford, Swanley and Gravesham. Before this, Marianne worked at a hospital in London in general medicine, acute stroke and acute care of the elderly. Nicola Holmes. Nicola has worked in our TB team for 7 years as a specialist nurse. Our team work alongside Public Health England and local hospital trusts, including consultants, microbiologists and pharmacists, to provide holistic care for patients. Nicola qualified in 2007 and worked in intensive care at the William Harvey Hospital in Ashford for 2 years before joining KCHFT. Every day, 28,000 people worldwide fall ill with TB. Tuberculosis. With treatment, TB can almost always be cured. Better still, having your BCG vaccination if you are under 35 will give you protection against it. Here, our experts tell you more. Question: what is tuberculosis? Nicola: tuberculosis is an infection caused by a bacterium, Mycobacterium tuberculosis. It is spread when someone who has active TB in their lung or larynx coughs. About 50% of TB cases affect the lungs, known as pulmonary TB, but it can affect other areas of the body, such as the lymph nodes, abdomen, brain, TB meningitis, and bones. Question: who does it affect? Nicola: TB can affect anyone who has been exposed to it. There are certain factors that can increase the risk of developing TB, such as homelessness, poorly ventilated or overcrowded accommodation, reduced immunity, including HIV, poor nutrition, and substance misuse. You are also more likely to be affected if you live in areas with higher rates of TB, including London, which has more than 40% of the UK's cases. Question: what symptoms does TB present with? Nicola: the most common symptoms of TB are a cough for 3 weeks or more, extreme tiredness, fever, night sweats, loss of appetite, weight loss. Patients may only experience a few of the symptoms. People with extrapulmonary TB may notice other symptoms relating to where the disease is in their body. Question: how is TB treated? Marianne: standard treatment for TB is with antibiotic tablets every morning for 6 months. There are quite a lot of tablets and some patients can find this difficult and may have side effects. However, most cope well with little support and encouragement. If TB is in the brain or has developed resistance to the antibiotics, treatment can take much longer and may require injections. The key to successful treatment is taking treatment every day and not missing any doses. Question: why can there be a perceived stigma around TB? What can we do about this? Marianne: historically, TB is associated with poverty and deprivation. Today, TB is often associated with factors that can themselves create stigma: HIV, poverty, drug and alcohol misuse, homelessness, a history of prison and refugee status. In some countries, TB is associated with witchcraft and can be considered a curse. As with any stigmas, it is important to educate people and stop myths about TB being circulated. Because of the low levels of TB in areas like Kent, people don't tend to know a lot about TB. It is important to educate the public and healthcare professionals. TB is not spread through spitting or sharing cutlery or crockery. You need to be exposed to droplets in the air for 8 hours or more to be at risk of contracting the disease, so it is very unlikely that most people will ever come into contact with it. But if they do, and they contract it, it can be treated. TB, the facts. Despite the fact that TB is curable, every day 28,000 people worldwide fall ill with TB, and nearly 5,000 then die. Many people believe TB has been eradicated in the UK, but it has never gone away. In the past 3 years, there has been a year-on-year decline in the number of TB cases in England, down to 5,758 cases in 2015. However, the number of TB cases in England is still unacceptably high. Anything over 40 cases per 100,000 is a high level of TB. London has a rate of 41 cases per 100,000. Need more advice? Visit our website www.kentcht.nhs.uk/TB.
It's easily curable. What started with a croaky voice lasting a few weeks turned into something much more serious for golf fan Pal Hothi. Here he tells Facing Clare how a subsequent cough led doctors to diagnose tuberculosis, TB, and how he's now cured, thanks to support from our specialist TB nurses. Sitting relaxed and smiling in the dining room of his Dartford home, Pal Hothi is a shining example of how someone can recover from TB with the right help and support. In March 2015, Pal was suffering from what seemed like a simple croaky voice. After several weeks, the 48-year-old started to feel better, but later that year his voice went again. Pal said, "I had recently come back from Spain and thought it was a bug, but it didn't go away. And then the coughing started. I wouldn't say I felt unwell, but I did feel tired and I was going to bed at 9 p.m. most nights. Around September, I was playing golf and noticed I was getting a little out of breath and had a pain on my left side." As time went on, Pal's cough worsened and he started bringing up phlegm. In the end, partner Annette, 49, was so concerned she made an appointment with the GP. In November 2015, Pal's doctor arranged for a chest x-ray and blood samples to be taken. Pal said, "I got a phone call from my GP saying he had the results and there was something on my left lung. I was a bit scared at this point, as like many other people, my first thought was, is it cancer?" His fear was compounded by the fact that he had lost both his parents to the disease. Within days, the builder was given an appointment with a consultant at Darrant Valley Hospital in Dartford. "I did think I was lucky to get an appointment so quickly. They said it was because of a cancellation, but I wondered if they were getting me in quickly because it was really serious." During this time, Kate visited Powell at his Priory Road North home several times. She talked through his recovery and how she and KCHFT's TB service would help. Some family members and a friend also visited the clinic so they could be tested for TB, as it can spread. All were clear. It was a slow healing process and Pal started coughing up blood a few days after starting the medication, but Kate was able to reassure him this was normal. The infection was being broken down. He said normal signs of TB are a cough that won't go away for 3 weeks and losing weight. "But I didn't lose weight. I did have cold sweats at night, but I had those anyway, and the cough sounded awful, but I felt okay. Then there were silly things like the colour of your pee being red, and Kate was able to explain this was okay as it was a side effect of the antibiotics. She was brilliant. Any questions I had, she was able to answer them all." In May last year, Pal was declared TB free. To this day, he's still not 100% sure where he contracted TB. It's most likely he contracted it in 1981 while visiting India and that it had lain dormant for years. He said, "Annette was annoyed at me at first for not going to the GP earlier. TB is so easily curable. I wish I'd gone sooner." Know the signs of TB. The number of TB cases in the UK may be decreasing in England, but they remain unacceptably high, as TB specialist nurse Kate Stevens explains. She said, "The rate is above average in parts of the South East, so it's really important that people know what to look for with TB." Kate is part of our TB nursing service. We have TB teams in North and East Kent, which work to improve outcomes for patients by offering support and leadership in managing, controlling, treating and preventing TB. The community-based teams provide care, education, support and information in the community for people who have been diagnosed with TB. Our nurses provide TB screening, liaising closely with respiratory consultants, paediatricians, pharmacists, microbiologists and other healthcare professionals. Kate said, one of the strengths of what we do is the adaptability of the service, which allow our nurses to respond quickly to patients who are not taking their tablets or screen family members at increased risk. TB is very treatable with strong antibiotics as long as it's diagnosed. Historically, there used to be some misunderstanding about TB, which is why it's important for people to know more about it. Sometimes TB can be hard to diagnose because it does not always behave the same from one person to another. Facts about TB. Tuberculosis is caused by a type of bacterium called Mycobacterium tuberculosis. TB is spread in a similar way to a cold or flu, but it isn't as contagious. Children with TB or people with a TB infection that is outside the lungs are less infectious. Most healthy people's immune systems can destroy the bacterium that causes TB, but in some cases the bacteria infects the body but doesn't cause any symptoms. Latent TB. Georgia's Marvellous Medicine. It had been a lovely family day out to the zoo, but within 24 hours little George was in hospital suffering from life-threatening sepsis. Here his mum Vicky tells Faye Sinclair how the days that followed were among the most frightening in her and her partner's life. Watching three-year-old George tear around his grandmother's garden, playing with his younger brother, you would never know that just a few short months ago he was in the William Harvey Hospital in Ashford, seriously ill. George had been diagnosed with tonsillitis, leading to sepsis, sometimes known as blood poisoning or septicemia. Mum Vicky, 29, said, George had been absolutely fine when we went to the zoo on the Friday. He was bouncing around like he always does. On the Saturday morning, he came to the gate at the door of his bedroom and he was really crying. He came and sat on our bed and he was really hot. He always has a glass of milk in the morning, so I went and got it for him. His dad, Charlie, was cuddling him. He really didn't want his milk. I thought it was unlike him. He only drank half of it. When the family went downstairs, George asked his dad for egg on toast, his favourite food, while Vicky was looking after 12-month-old brother Harry in another room. However, when it was ready, George had been sick in the lounge and didn't respond to his dad's calls that breakfast was ready. It didn't look like sick, though. It was what I can only describe as white, frothy angel delight. We thought it was probably a bug, explained Vicky. However, it wasn't a bug, it was sepsis. By 11 a.m. that day, George, who is susceptible to ear and throat infections, was burning up with a temperature of 39.5 degrees. Vicky and Charlie were concerned that their son's temperature was so high, so gave him Calpol and began to think it was an ear and throat infection, so they phoned 111 to get an out-of-hours GP appointment. Vicky explained the situation and George was seen in Canterbury later that day. The GP checked him out really thoroughly and said they believed it was a virus. The doctor advised that if his temperature was still as high in the morning, they needed to go back. George tried some tea but promptly threw it back up. Then, throughout that night, George needed regular doses of paracetamol and ibuprofen. By 3 a.m, his temperature was 40.5 degrees and Vicky knew something wasn't right. The following morning, he was completely out of it. I went into him at 8 a.m, he's usually up at 6 a.m, and he was still asleep. He was so lethargic. We rang and got another out-of-hours appointment, saw a lovely GP who checked him all over again. He said the same as the previous GP, to carry on what we had been doing. George had no colour. He was just out of it when we got him home. You know your children, and he was so poorly. I just knew something wasn't right. It was then that George started to shake, a moment that Vicky said will never leave her. As she went to cuddle him, George said, "Mummy, I'm so cold." But to touch, he was boiling. Then, worryingly, within minutes, his nose, lips, hands and feet had turned blue, and he had become cold to touch. It was horrible. We made a decision there and then to take George to Children's A&E. Vicky took Harry to his grandmother girl's home and then she and Charlie made a dash for the hospital with a very poorly George. By this time George was no longer blue. In triage his temperature was just under 39 and he was able to have some Calpol. The whole ordeal was really starting to freak George out by this point. We saw a junior A&E doctor who checked him over. She explained that if they couldn't find the infection, they couldn't give antibiotics. Vicky was still convinced something was seriously wrong, so the A&E consultant spoke to a colleague in paediatrics. She said by this point George was absolutely exhausted. He had his observations done and his temperature was back up to 40 degrees, so they tried to cool him down, but he started to shake again. As time went on, his skin was grey, mottled, it looked blue, a patchwork of bruises, so the staff nurse went to get the consultant immediately. The consultant had to move George's tonsils to find the infection which was lurking behind them. He said he believed George was septic. He was immediately rushed to a ward and given IV fluid and antibiotics. By Monday morning, George's face was puffy and swollen, but he was on the slow road to recovery. Vicky said they were happy with his progress so far, but wanted to keep him in for one more night. In the end, George was discharged on Wednesday, but he needed to continue the antibiotics for another 8 days. Later, the family discovered George's infection was so severe that he was amber on the sepsis scale. Vicky is keen to raise awareness of sepsis so other parents know what the symptoms are. I don't want anyone to go through what we did. For something that is so common, it is just not publicised enough. If it wasn't for my mum, who had done a lot of work around sepsis for KCHFT, I would never have known how serious sepsis is. What is sepsis? Sepsis is a life-threatening condition that happens when an infecting agent, such as bacteria, virus or fungus, gets into a person's bloodstream. The infection activates the immune system, which sets off a chain reaction of events that can lead to uncontrolled inflammation in the body. This whole body response to infection produces changes in temperature, blood pressure, heart rate, and breathing. Severe sepsis can cause organ failure and can kill. It requires immediate medical care. Kent Community Health NHS Foundation Trust has launched a campaign to make sure its workforce is able to easily identify the signs of sepsis. Assistant Director for Infection Prevention and Control Lisa White said, "Anyone can develop sepsis, but babies and young children, older frail people and those with an impaired immune function due to illness or a long-term health condition, for example, are at higher risk. Others at high risk are people who have recently undergone surgery or who have had an injury or hospital admission, as well as some patients receiving certain kinds of immunosuppressant drug therapy." Could it be sepsis? If you suspect sepsis, seek urgent medical help. Slurred speech, extreme shivering or muscle pain, not able to pee, severe breathlessness, feeling that you may die, mottled or discoloured skin. In children under 12, look for fast breathing, a fit or convulsion, mottled, bluish or pale skin, not feeding, children aged under 5, a rash that does not fade when you press it, lethargy or difficulty walking, repeated vomiting in children under 5, skin that feels abnormally cold to touch, a dry nappy for 12 hours, children under 5. Want to get them home sooner? Patients in hospital who get up and get dressed every day recover fastest. Moving around more, where possible, helps you to maintain your muscles and your ability to do things for yourself. If your loved one is in hospital, you can help by remembering to take in clothes and shoes. Home first. Let's get them moving. You can find out more at www.kentcht.nhs.uk/home first.
Our vision for Dorothy. It's great we're all living longer, but not all our services are designed to meet our needs now and in the future. The NHS, social care and public health in Kent and Medway are working on a plan together to transform our services. Here, we tell you more. Our challenges across Kent and Medway. As many as 4 in 10 emergency admissions to hospital could be avoided if the right care was available in the community. Our population will increase by almost a quarter by 2031. 1 in 4 people have a mental health problem at some point in their lives. The number of people over 70 will rise by 20% in the next 5 years. We have real challenges in recruiting enough GPs, practice nurses, and some senior hospital doctors. If we could start from scratch to design our NHS today, we probably wouldn't set it up like it is now. As our population grows and more people live with long-term conditions like heart disease or diabetes, the demands on our services are changing and increasing. What's more, we aren't making the most of opportunities to improve health and well-being, prevent illness and support people to manage their conditions and stay independent. So for the first time, all NHS, social care, voluntary and community sector organisations are working together to meet these challenges and to improve the care we provide to you and your families. We have four priority areas: preventing ill health, local care, hospital care and mental health. And lots of work is happening to look at the improvements we can make in these areas. Our vision is to make preventing ill health part of everything we do in health and social care. We also want to make sure hospitals have enough capacity, staff and resources to do what they do best, provide expert, specialist care. And we want to deliver excellent, safe, supportive and cost-effective care for people of all ages who have a mental health condition or at a risk of developing one. Improving local care in our communities is central to the success of the other three areas. We need to do more locally to help prevent illness, support people with long-term conditions to keep them as well as possible, and avoid them being admitted to hospital. Clinical evidence tells us that particularly frail, elderly people are often better cared for out of large acute hospitals in other places like their home. Older people are often the people who need the most help from health and social care services and are more likely to get admitted to hospital. We rightly dedicate 40% of our resources to their care. So when looking at local care, we've focused on older people with long-term conditions first, as we think we can make some big changes for the better to their care. To illustrate this, over the next couple of pages, we'll tell you about Dorothy and Bill and how we think we can improve things for them and people like them in the future. This is just an outline of our ambitions for their care, and we'd like to invite you to a round of listening events to tell you more. Find out more about the challenges we face by reading our case for change at www.kentandmedway.nhs.uk. Dorothy's story. Meet Dorothy. Dorothy is 79, frail, and has type 2 diabetes, a lung condition known as chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, memory loss, and depression. She lives with her husband of 60 years, Bill, who is also unwell, and her main carer. Their daughter, Sue, lives more than an hour away, and they have three grandchildren. Our ultimate aim is to support Dorothy and Bill better and stop them from going into hospital. We know that every day in Kent and Medway, around 1,000 people are in a hospital bed when they don't need to be or want to be. The reasons are usually that they have to wait for care to be in place. They need a social care or occupational health assessment, or they need a residential home place. We think we can do better. Here's how we think we might be able to give Dorothy and Bill better care in the future. We have 8 ambitions for Dorothy and people like her. 1. Helping Dorothy to look after herself. We want to empower Dorothy to manage her own long-term conditions and support her to improve her health and well-being. We hope this will also help her husband Bill and help him feel less isolated, stressed and tired. Dorothy and her husband will have access to a digital and paper-based directory of community resources, as well as a range of apps or other online resources. This means supporting them to change any unhealthy behaviours, like helping them to stop smoking or eat more healthily. As well as any medication Dorothy needs, she will also be signposted to social activities to improve her health and well-being, for example, attending a health walk, support group or club. 2. Organising her care. The NHS and social care is complicated. We know it's difficult to know who to ring and which organisation is responsible for what. A care navigator or a case manager, who will be a health or social care professional, will organise the plan for Dorothy's care and bring together a group of people to support and help her. They will coordinate her plan with her. They will put her in touch with community groups or support groups, ring her and her husband to check how she is getting on, attend review meetings with her and be her point of contact to make sure she sees the right person at the right time. Peer supporters, usually volunteers, with similar conditions or challenges to Dorothy, could also be able to help support her. 3. Safe in her home. We want everyone to live in a healthy home environment which supports their long-term health, well-being and independence. We know that Dorothy's house suffers from damp and the cold environment can impact on her COPD. She's also often falling over and now Bill is struggling to help her get back up again. Our aim is for housing, social care and health to have a joint budget and share expertise and knowledge better. We will carry out an assessment of Dorothy's home. We might work with the fire service on this and make sure it is free from harms and hazards. This could also mean making sure her home is safe from things that might cause trips or falls, putting her in touch with community exercise or falls prevention classes, and maybe making alterations to their home, like adding in grab rails or home monitoring. If Dorothy's home is owned by a private landlord, we will work together to make sure her property is in a good standard. 4. Connecting teams. Dorothy needs expert professionals to look after her different health conditions and needs. Instead of working separately, they will work in a team made up of a range of health and social care professionals. This sounds like common sense, but the reality is there are barriers that get in the way of this, like shared IT systems. So, with permission, everyone who needs to can see the same single care plan. Our view is that this team, which could include a geriatrician, social care worker, dementia nurse, health coach, GP, and Dorothy's care navigator, will work with a group of GP practices to support patients. 5. One number to call. Dorothy, her husband, or anyone involved in her care will have a special number to arrange all community or social care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call handlers, supported by clinical staff, will be able to give advice and set up care or support for Dorothy, refer her to services, or redirect the call to 999 where appropriate. 6. Rapid response. Our team will provide a rapid response if Dorothy's condition deteriorates. If needed, she will be visited at home by an appropriate professional within 2 hours. They will carry out an initial assessment to see if she needs short-term care to stop her going into hospital. This might mean building on what's in place, including nursing, medication, or therapy. 7. Home from hospital. We know there are around 1,000 patients who are fit to leave hospital if there was more care or support in place at home. If Dorothy goes into hospital, we will start planning to get her home from the first day she arrives and keep her active so she doesn't lose the ability to do things for herself. The hospital team will regularly talk to Dorothy, Bill, her daughter Sue, and her care navigator or case manager, who will visit her and the staff in hospital. We will use our referral centre to coordinate her community care to support her at home with anything she was already receiving. Within 2 hours of her leaving hospital, we will assess her at home and make any changes to her care package. We will always aim to discharge her in the morning, so it's easy to get anything she needs during normal opening hours. Once she's home, the relevant services will then support Dorothy for up to 6 weeks, helping her to gain more independence and recover. 8. Advice from experts. We want to improve access to expert advice and investigations, such as x-rays or scans, for GPs and professionals in the community. So, if Dorothy's GP or nurse needs advice about her, they can talk to the team looking after her and can get access to a community geriatrician. A directory of specialists will link in with local teams via video conferencing or telemedicine and use shared record systems. For Dorothy, this will mean she is diagnosed and gets better faster. Her travel to outpatient appointments is reduced, and her health professional has access to all her test results at her appointment. If you want to find out more detail about our 8 ambitions for Dorothy, come along to our listening events. Hear more about care for Dorothy and people like her at our listening events. Each event will have representatives from the local NHS social care and public health teams to discuss progress and hear your views. At the event, you can hear more about our vision of care for older people described previously, and we will also update you on plans to make better use of our hospitals. To register for an event, please email nelcsu.engagement@nhs.net and let us know about any specific needs you might have, such as large print documents or having a hearing loop. Give us your views. Canterbury, 29th of June, 9:15 to 12:15. St Lawrence Cricket Ground, Old Dover Road, Canterbury, CT1 3NZ. Deal, 4th of July, 1:30 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. The Landmark Centre, 129 High Street, Deal, CT14 6BB. Tunbridge Wells, 5th of July, 6:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Southborough Primary School, Broomhill Park Road, Southborough, Tunbridge Wells, TN40JY. Ashford, 6th of July, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Holiday Inn Central Hotel, Canterbury Road, Kennington, Ashford, TN24 8QQ. Romney Marsh, 11th of July, 1:30 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. Marsh Academy Community Hub, Station Road, New Romney, TN28 8BB. Tunbridge, 18th of July, 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. West Kent College, Brook Street, Tunbridge, TN9 2PW. Canterbury, 20th of July. Details to be confirmed. Maidstone, 25th of July, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Oakwood House, Oakwood Road, Maidstone, ME16 8AE. Thanet, 27th of July, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. The Yarrow Hotel, Ramsgate Road, Broadstairs, CT10 1PN. Sevenoaks, 8th of August, 9:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Venue to be confirmed. Weald of Kent, to be confirmed. Events are also being planned for Dartford, Gravesend, Swanley and Swale. If you would like to attend, contact dgs.communications@nhs.uk or swale.communications@nhs.uk. Achieving our ambitions. Preventing ill health. Our vision is to make preventing ill health part of everything we do in health and social care by improving information so people know about the local services available to help them improve their health, training our staff to give tailored advice and help people access services that meet individual needs, empowering people to self-manage their health and supporting people to take control of how they live with long-term health conditions. Hospital care. We want to make sure hospitals have enough capacity, staff and resources to do what they do best, provide expert, specialist care, by looking at how we can deliver planned operations in a more effective way and how we can improve stroke services. Making sure we more consistently meet national safety and quality standards. Making the best use of scarce specialist staff and equipment. Mental health. We want to deliver excellent, safe, supportive and cost-effective care for people of all ages with a mental health condition or at risk of developing one, by focusing on prevention as a way to enable more sustainable services in the future, early intervention and integrating physical and mental health to treat the whole person, not diseases or illnesses, reducing variations in care and access to services by using the data available to show us where to focus our work for most impact.
The making of Macy. ADHD. Those four little letters can have a big impact upon the lives of people with the condition and their families. Anna Hind went to meet one family from Gravesend to find out how they've coped. Sleepovers, playing with friends and singing in front of guests at her mum's wedding. Just three things that Macy Bartholomew thought she'd never be able to do. Why? Because the 11-year-old has autism with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, oppositional defiance disorder and sleep difficulties. And that's enough to dampen anyone's spirits, but not Macy. The music lover has made huge steps in the past 4 years, culminating in her passing the 11 plus in September and being offered a place at the Mayfield Grammar School. Mum Claire was not encouraged to put Macy forward for the tests, but now she's pleased she did and so proud of her daughter. It's been a long journey for the family. Macy's behaviour was commented upon at nursery when she was just 3 years old, but Claire, being a first-time mum and single parent, wasn't sure where to turn or who to listen to. She said, "I'd never had a three-year-old before, so naturally I didn't know if her behaviour was normal or not. I was working at a secondary school at the time with the special educational needs team and mentioned Macy's behaviour to a colleague. Macy was biting herself and used to get so angry. He said if she was a teenager, we'd be saying she was self-harming. It was a lightbulb moment for us and the start of our journey. The pair were referred to Darent Valley Hospital Children's Department for tests, including brain scans. At the hospital, they saw KCHFT's consultant community paediatrician, Dr. Chandra Hegger, who was instrumental in getting them the help and support they needed. And that support came in the form of KCHFT's specialist ADHD nurse, Shirley Fountain. Shirley started Macy on very low dose of medication and almost overnight had a calming effect. Claire said, "I felt very isolated at times, but getting the referral to Shirley helped. She is always at the end of the phone and we see her every 6 months to review Macy's medication and work out new strategies." Macy's move to junior school was also a turning point for her. Claire said, "She was hardly in the classroom during infants because of her behaviour, but the move to a junior school was great. Her year three teacher was very understanding and within weeks of starting she was in the top set for her subjects. She's bright and the teacher recognised this and could see past her conditions. She gave her a chance and it was a clean slate for Macy because it was a new school. People do tend to class children with ADHD as naughty and I'm sure I was labelled as a single mum dragging up my child. People use it when it suits. There's a fine line between seeing the condition and understanding it." The parents at Macy's school, her friends and classmates have been very tolerant of us over the years. They've been amazing. Things also started to look up for Claire, Macy and her younger sister Darcy when Will arrived in their lives. The couple met just before Macy's diagnosis and Claire describes his effect on their lives as amazing. She said, "Taking on someone else's children is no mean feat. He knew we came with our problems, but he's been amazing and has attended courses to better understand Macy's condition." The couple also have a 2-year-old daughter, Elsie. With family life settled and her medication sorted, Macy added to her list of achievements when she sang Remedy by Adele at her mum's and Will's wedding last year. The youngster has dreams of a career on the stage and hopes to emulate the success of her idols, Ariana Grande, Miley Cyrus and Adele. Macy said, "I was nervous, but Mum asked everyone to turn their backs to me so I wasn't scared. I'm really excited to be starting secondary school, but nervous too. I'm glad I'm not like I was at infant school. I didn't know how to explain what I was feeling. I thought I had something wrong with my brain." Another hurdle that Macy has overcome is her fear of dogs. Claire explains, "She was petrified to the point of collapse if a dog came near her. So I thought we need to get a dog. And Doris, the family's dog, has had a remarkable effect on Macy. The pair are the best of friends." Macy explains, "If I get upset, Doris knows. She comes over to me for a kiss and a cuddle. When I'm angry, she understands. She knows how I'm feeling and I talk to her about my feelings, which makes me feel better." As Macy moves towards puberty and secondary school, Claire and the family feel confident they can cope with any changes. Macy will stay under the supervision of Shirley for the time being. Claire said, Macy has taught me so much. I now have the patience of a saint and I'm more accepting of other people. The medication has allowed Macy to achieve what she's capable of. She used to explode at school, but now she can concentrate. I used to have to restrain her. She may be small, but she is strong, and thankfully all that has passed. Who knows how puberty and secondary school will change things, but I know Shirley and the rest of the team will be there if I need them. Fact file. Autism is a lifelong developmental disability that affects how a person communicates with and relates to other people and how they experience the world around them. Oppositional defiance disorder is a condition in which a child displays an ongoing pattern of an angry or irritable mood, defiant or argumentative behaviour, and vindictiveness towards people in authority. Attention deficit hyperactivity disorder is a group of behavioural symptoms that include inattentiveness, hyperactivity, and impulsiveness. People with ADHD may also have additional problems, such as sleep and anxiety disorders. How we can help. A child who has been diagnosed with ADHD by their GP or paediatrician and started on medication will then be referred to one of KCHFT's specialist ADHD nurses for checkups and monitoring. Specialist ADHD nurse Shirley Fountain explains, if a child and their parents decide to start on medication, and not everyone does, then it's our role to monitor their height, weight, blood pressure, if the dose is correct, and any side effects. We see children every 6 months for a checkup. We're here to help children like Macy reach their full potential. The medication helps the brain to focus, concentrate, and enables the child to be in control of their impulses. The earliest age at which a child will normally be diagnosed with ADHD is 6 years old. Children under the age of 6 are considered too young for a diagnosis, and healthcare professionals agree that a year at school is beneficial to any diagnosis. Shirley explains, early medication is started at 6. We leave it until this age because we need evidence from a child's year at school, their teacher's feedback and the school nurse, as well as the family that there is a problem. Shirley and the team can also offer parents guidance around sleep, diet and appetite and signpost families to specialist courses and support groups. KCHFT's specialist ADHD nurses monitor children until they are 18, at which point they need to return to their GP to access an adult service. Our brave soldier. What if you had a lifelong condition that meant when and how you go to the toilet was a daily painful struggle? Chloe Crouch met Harry Driver and his mum Carol at their Margate home to hear how they have overcome challenges that would defy most of us, thanks to the help of our children's bladder and bowel nursing team. Watching Carol Driver hug her 14-year-old son Harry, it is clear just how proud she is of her youngest boy. It was during what seemed to be a normal pregnancy for Carol that she was told the news that her gorgeous baby boy was going to be born with some significant challenges. She said, "The doctor told me Harry had a club foot and he would never be able to walk." Little did Carol realise, but Harry's diagnosis was going to be far more challenging. At 14 weeks old, Harry underwent surgery at the Evelina Children's Hospital in London on his feet and legs. And it was then that Carol and her husband Mark received the news that Harry had a form of spina bifida known as sacral agenesis. Carol said, "At first I was just in shock and thought, how will we cope? And then we just got on with it. He is our son and we love him." Sacral agenesis is a congenital disorder, which means the lower half of the spine does not develop properly, affecting everything below the waist. One in every 25,000 babies is born with the condition. For Harry, it wasn't just his legs and feet that were affected, but also his bladder and bowel. As a baby, Harry had terrible trouble with constipation, and he ended up having a stoma through his appendix for 6 years, said Carol. He suffered with water infections, constipation, and had to wear nappies long into his childhood. We had to regularly flush through his bowels to help with the constipation, and it caused him so much pain. It was awful, and his dad had to do it because I couldn't bear to see him so upset. When Harry was 6 months old, the family was referred to the Children's Bladder and Bowel Nursing Team, and it was then that the drivers met nurse consultant Jane Emsley. Carol said, "Jane came to visit us to help us to prepare for how Harry would be affected by his condition and what we needed to expect. From day one, she has always been there to help us. When Harry was 11 and about to change schools, Jane came in and helped show him how to insert a catheter so he could go to the toilet on his own. It made so much difference. He felt so much better, more confident, and it meant he didn't have to go to his new school wearing nappies. Jane was so kind and caring, and Harry has always felt safe with her. But Jane, who has been working with Harry 13 years, you can tell she is proud of how far he has come. "Harry has done so well, and I'm so pleased that our care has made such a difference," said Jane. "We're really passionate about helping children and young people become confident in managing their bladder and bowel difficulties. Our specialist care and advice means we can help them to have the normal life they crave." Looking at Harry now, it's hard to believe he's any different from any other 14-year-old boy. While he uses a wheelchair for long days at school, or if the family goes out together, he is also able to walk around the house and stand on 2 feet. He enjoys swimming, playing snooker and pool with his dad, and playing on his PlayStation. Most impressively, Harry has followed older brother Matthew into the local St George's Army Cadet Corps. He is now a Lance Corporal, which is fitting for the boy who Commando called everywhere until he was 5 years old. He said, "I have been an Army Cadet for about 2 years and it's really fun. They have always included me and I've been away on 2-week camping expeditions. They treat me the same and I don't get away with anything. My uniform has to be perfect, just like everyone else's." The pride on Mum Carol's face is clear to see. She said whatever life has thrown at him, he has just smiled, stayed positive and got on with it. He has never felt sorry for himself, even though he really could have been forgiven for being angry about his situation. He is incredibly good-natured and we are so proud of him. Contact us. The Children's Bladder and Bowel Nursing Team supports children and families living in East Kent with complex bladder and bowel dysfunction. You can be referred into the team by your GP, health visitor or other healthcare professional. For advice on daytime wetting and soiling or nighttime bedwetting, please speak to your health visitor or school nurse. Everyday volunteering heroes. What do 500 people and 35,000 hours have in common? The answer is the number of volunteers we have helping out dozens of services across our patch and the number of hours they put in during the past 12 months. From running hospital shops and offering dining companionship to providing admin assistance and gardening services, KCHFT's volunteers will turn their hand to pretty much anything, as Community Health discovered. Volunteering in the blood. Our South East drivability team struck gold when Christine Edwards and Pat Adams signed up to volunteer. The vibrant duo supports the team, which provides assessment and advice on driving, car adaptation and car choice for disabled drivers and passengers. Christine, 69, from Aylesford, has been volunteering with the service for more than 5 years. She was originally approached by head of service, Anuraj Varshne. She said, "I jumped at the chance as volunteering is in my blood, really. I've volunteered for a number of organisations over the years, including the Royal British Legion Institute, a local hospice in Aylesford, and now the NHS. Pat, 73, from Ditton, added, "Christine and I volunteer every Tuesday for 3 to 4 hours. We mainly help staff with general admin tasks and phone calls to clients who still need to complete and return a short questionnaire before the date of their assessment. With years of volunteering experience between them, it's clear to see the love Christine and Pat have for what they do." Christine said, "Volunteering has a real feel-good factor. We're both doing something incredibly worthwhile, and the support we give to the service really does make a difference to patients and staff." Pat added, "We try to help in any way we can, including making a cup of tea or coffee for clients when they come in, which is a lovely added touch. Everyone is always so grateful. I really enjoy talking to the patients, and since losing my husband 18 months ago, it has given me real companionship." Join the team. South East Drivability, based in Aylesford, needs a volunteer car maintenance helper. You will need experience and working knowledge of basic vehicle maintenance for this new role, as well as a full driving licence. You'll be helping with basic maintenance, refuelling, checking tyre pressures, oil and windscreen wash levels. Please contact Voluntary Services Manager Maria Swaby 01474 360508 or maria.swaby@nhs.net or Business Manager Julia Chapburn 03000 0134 886 or KCHT www.sedriveability@nhs.net for more information. Teen recommends volunteering. When 16-year-old Harry Bodle Jones started volunteering at our minor injury unit, little did he realise how much he would enjoy helping NHS staff, patients and visitors. Harry, who is a student at North Kent College in Dartford, is studying Level 3 Health and Social Care as he works towards his goal of studying paramedic science at university. He has been volunteering at Gravesham Minor Injury Unit, run by KCHFT, for 5 months, providing administrative support, including helping visitors and their carers to complete feedback on the service. Harry said, "I'm learning more than I ever thought I would, not least how brilliant individuals come together in difficult situations to show kindness, compassion and exceptional clinical skills as a team. I can honestly say I have enjoyed every minute I've given to the unit and I would strongly recommend volunteering for the NHS." Interested in volunteering? Find out more www.kentcht.nhs.uk/volunteering. Do you need some help with your driving? Find out more about the service and how you can self-refer online. www.kentcht.nhs.uk/southeast-driveability. Fabulous Faversham 5 finish. At KCHFT, we know our colleagues are our greatest asset. 5 of our finest are retiring after a combined service history that spans more than 100 years. Chloe Crouch travelled to Faversham Cottage Hospital to hear from the women themselves about why it is such a special place to work. It was an afternoon of cakes, gifts, special memories and thanks as Faversham Cottage Hospital celebrated 5 of its colleagues at their retirement party. The dedicated women have racked up more than 100 years' experience between them and will be sorely missed as they leave the Trust this summer. Faversham Cottage Hospital is one of 10 inpatient units we run in Kent. The wards provide rehabilitation care for patients who are unable to cope at home but who do not need to go to an acute hospital. The aim of the team is to work with patients to help them regain their independence. Chris Lamb. Staff nurse Chris Lamb, 70, has 18 years' service and is looking forward to more time in her garden and with her grandchildren. She said, "I will miss the camaraderie and the amazing support of this team. It's like being part of a big family." Marlene Walker. Starting her career as an auxiliary nurse, healthcare assistant Marlene Walker, 70, has worked in the NHS for 27 years. She said, "I have some amazing memories from all these years. I have a lot to keep me busy, including my golden wedding anniversary and spending more time with my 2 grandchildren." Christine Stevens. Christine has 28 years' experience working as a healthcare assistant. The 62-year-old has enjoyed her role and working with the team so much, she is already back after her retirement working on a part-time basis. "The girls are so friendly and they all support you. I couldn't stay away." Lynn Whitehead. Staff nurse Lynn Whitehead has 7 years' service and came to nursing later in life. "I'd always wanted to go into a caring profession and decided to retrain in my 50s, not thinking for a second I would make it through, but thought I'd give it a go anyway. This has been a lovely place to work." Operational manager Sue Pickett made up the 5 and is retiring after 40 years' service. You could say it was written in the stars that Sue Pickett would become a nurse. After all, she shares a birthday with Florence Nightingale. Ask any colleagues or patients, they will all tell you she was born to care. Even her aunt told her when she was young, "You've got lovely hands, you'd make a great nurse." Sue, now 60 and from Faversham, started her nurse training at 18 at Thanet School of Nursing in Margate. Now, after 42 years of caring for people, 25 of which were in community hospitals, she is preparing to enjoy a long and well-deserved retirement. Sue is the first to admit how fortunate she has been to enjoy such a long and varied career. "I have been so lucky and have had some incredible experiences," said Sue. "There have been some patients and jobs that I will never forget, and of course I will treasure the camaraderie of years of working with some amazing and dedicated people." One experience Sue treasures from her early days working in a hospice is that of a special royal visit and one patient in particular. It was October 1985 and the hospice was expecting a visit from Princess Diana. Sue had been caring for Eugenie, who was close to dying. She said, in the hours before Princess Diana's arrival, Eugenie's condition had started to deteriorate. She was ready and dressed, sitting in the ward where the princess was visiting, but now could no longer speak. Just the day before, she had told me it was her dream to meet the princess, so I wasn't going to let her down. Our ward sister was concerned that Eugenie was now too unwell, but I explained that it was very important to her and that we couldn't take her back up to our ward, so I stayed with her. In the minutes that followed, Princess Diana's kind nature came through. Sue said Diana was so caring and genuine that she ended up being a bit late arriving on the ward because she had stopped to talk to everyone. I remember thinking, just hang on, Eugenie. Eventually she came through the door and we had positioned Eugenie so she would be the first to see Diana. She was trembling, and although she couldn't speak to the princess, she smiled while Diana chatted to her for quite a few minutes. It was really moving, and she died just 2 hours later. Some patients stay with you, and for me, Eugenie was one of them. Having worked her way up the ladder, Sue will be retiring from Kent Community Health NHS Foundation Trust as a senior manager for our community hospitals in East Kent. The community has been a great place to work. It's such a friendly, close-knit team. All my life I wanted to look after people, so I will miss it, but it will be great to have some time to do what I want to do. And after 40 years, we think she's earned it.
Bridging the gap. One of our biggest challenges for the future is making sure health and social care work better together to support you. Health and social care coordinators help to provide this vital link by encouraging people to attend their clinics and referring on to the voluntary sector and other community services. Donna Clark, based in West Kent, tells us about the role. What do you do? We meet patients over the age of 18, listen to their concerns, and signpost people to the best source of support in the community. Much of our work involves listening to our clients, building trust, and giving them the self-confidence to take back control of their lives and self-care. We work closely with our complex care nurses to support patients with long-term conditions. We hope to take the pressure off GPs and reduce hospital admissions by intervening as early as possible. What sort of issues do people see you about? Reasons for a referral to us may include carer support, both practical and psychological, dementia, mental illness, social isolation, healthy living for physical conditions such as obesity, cardiovascular disease, diabetes or mental health conditions where exercise may be beneficial, one-off signposting to alcohol drug use support services, unemployment, housing and benefits. How do people find out about your service? Many of our referrals come from GPs or practice nurses. Most of our team hold clinics 3 times a week at GP surgeries across West Kent. Anyone can book into the clinics. These are for social prescribing for a variety of activities, typically provided by voluntary and community sector organisations. Examples include promoting self-care, volunteering, befriending, shopping, helping at home, healthy living advice and guidance, benefit entitlements, carer support, daycare clubs and activities, dementia support, mobility issues, and many more. What do you enjoy most about your job? Making a difference to people's lives, watching an individual taking back control of their life after coming through a difficult period is so rewarding. Motivating patients and giving them hope of a brighter future is a great feeling. How long do you see patients for? It depends on the individual client. It might be just once, but it can be up to 6 weeks. We've supported people who need longer-term assistance, working with borough councils and community organisations to make sure the client gets on the right track. What are the most important qualities you need to fulfil the role? You need to relate well to people and be a great communicator, as well as have empathy, excellent listening skills, and patience. If you would like to arrange to see a health and social care coordinator in your area, contact your GP.
What's up, Gov? A new leader at our helm, our first ever event especially for our members. Our governors have had a lot going on. Find out more about the work of our governors and why you might want to contact yours. Let's discuss diabetes. In the past 10 years, the number of people living with diabetes in the UK has more than doubled. A whopping 3.9 million people in the UK already live with the condition, and it's thought that 700 people are newly diagnosed every day. It's the reason that diabetes was the theme for our first members' event at Westgate Hall in Canterbury. We joined forces with East Kent Hospitals University NHS Foundation Trust so our members could learn about the condition. It was also a great opportunity for members in East Kent to meet their local governor, and more than 70 people came along. Both KCHFT and EKHUFT governors talked about the role they play, representing the interests of the public, giving local people, patients, staff and partners greater opportunity to be involved in the development of NHS services. Our new lead governor is Sonia Bigg, and we also have appointed governors, Deputy Lead Governor Dr. Susan Plummer, Universities, and Andrew Scott Clark, Public Health. Don't worry if you didn't make it, as we are planning a similar event in West Kent in the autumn. Look out for more details coming soon. Here for you. Don't forget the governors are here to represent you. The Council of Governors holds the non-executive directors and board to account for the Trust performance. They are there to talk to you about your experiences of health services and are a direct link between you and the Trust. Our governors are Public, Ashford, John Fletcher, Canterbury, Mary Straker, Dartford, Gary Frost, Dover, Carol Coleman, Gravesham, Peter Sutton, Maidstone, David Price, Sevenoaks, Joe Naismith, Shepway, Joe Clifford, Swale, Amanda Green, Thanet, Jane Hetherington, Tunbridge and Morling, Sue Stevens, Tunbridge Wells, Mike McKenzie, the rest of England, Anthony Moore. Staff, Adult Services, Sonia Bigg, Children and Families, Mark Johnston, Corporate Services, Lisa Sherratt. You can email kcht.governors@nhs.net or phone 01622 211 979. Quickfire 5 with Mike Walling and Lillian Nadawula. Mike and Lillian are from the Ethnic Minority Independent Council in Canterbury. Lewis King finds out how the council strives to bring together people from many different backgrounds and communities. 1. Could you tell us a bit about yourself? Mike, I am 80 and I chair the Ethnic Minority Independent Council in Canterbury, which is where I live. Lillian, I am 53 and am EMIC's volunteer coordinator. I used to be vice chair and am a former trustee too. 2. What is EMIC? Mike, EMIC is an umbrella organisation for many ethnic minority and community groups in Canterbury. We see ourselves as a conduit between organisations such as KCHFT and various communities, making sure their voices are heard. Lillian, we attempt to preserve and share the culture and heritage of those communities to pass on to the next generation. 3. What types of activities do you do? Lillian, we have held lots of multicultural events over the years, marking International Mother Language Day, Chinese New Year Festival, World in One City and World AIDS Day. Hundreds of people from different cultures attend, building good relationships. 4. What difference do you make? Mike, our work makes a tremendous difference to many people living in Canterbury, and not just to those who are part of ethnic minority groups. Some member communities are naturally individualistic, but after a while they realise they do need to come together to have a greater voice in their community. 5. How does EMIC work with KCHFT? Mike, EMIC has been a member of KCHFT's Patient Engagement Network for more than a year. We're given information about what's going on in the NHS and services available to people in the community. A good project that we worked on with KCHFT was introducing language cards for people who do not speak English to access health services. Lillian, we have linked in closely with KCHFT services. For example, some communities are at a higher risk of developing long-term conditions such as diabetes, stroke or dementia. That's why we raise awareness about these and promote good health and well-being. For more information, email emic@miccanterbury@gmail.com. Your directory of community services. We provide more than 60 services across Kent to keep you in the best of health. For many of our services, you will need a referral from a GP or other healthcare professional. However, there are services you can contact yourself. Visit www.kentcht.nhs.uk to listen to contact details for services we provide, together with information for carers. Under 19 and worried about a health issue? Have questions or need advice? Talk to your school health service. Kent School Health Service. www.kentcht.nhs.uk/school health. Talk exams, talk stress, talk health, talk relationships, talk bullying. Phone 0300 123 4496. Everything you say is confidential. And that concludes the reading of the summer 2017 edition of Community Health, provided by Kent Community Health NHS Foundation Trust.